Marvin L. Petzold, Scotland, South Dakota, and I'll be 86 next month.
Okay.
September.
And you did serve in the armed forces.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for your service. Could you tell me about your branch of service, what your rank was, and the unit you served with, please?
I was in the U.S. Navy, regular Navy, 4 years or duration, and I was a storekeeper, payroll clerk. I paid the boys. I was in boot camp 20 days, and I signed my name January 27th, 1942, and I boarded my ship March the 6th, 1942, and I had 6 days at sea on a transport. I never marched. I never done the manual at arms. I never had Navy shoes. I never had a Navy uniform when I went aboard ship or nothing, because they just didn't have nothing. And they said, enlist and put in where you want to serve. And when they knocked the draft down to 18, I quit college. And I enlisted because I didn't want to go to the Army, because I was in the CC camps over the hill from the Army, and they were riding horses and riding motorcycles and marching when we couldn't go down out and cut down trees because it was too cold. And I said, the Army is never going to get me. When I was going to college, my best friend came down and said he was going to be drafted. And I said, we can beat that by joining the Navy. We'll go to the Navy Monday. I said, I'll give you till Monday to think it over. And he said, we're going to the Navy. I said, I told you we'd think it over. And he said, I did. So we hitchhiked to Yankton and joined the Navy. And I ended up on the USS Savannah in the Atlantic and Mediterranean. We sunk a ship in the South Atlantic. We brought back 67 prisoners. The youngest was 16. And the oldest was 77, and we left them off at Norfolk, and then we loaded up ammunition and stuff, and I sent my brother in Iowa a letter and told him where we was going to go and what we was going to do. I was just guessing. I didn't know, and it was against all rules and regulations in the book. And I told him he's going into the Mediterranean. I said, I want you to keep this letter to see how far I missed it when we get back. And I put in parentheses, if I get back. And sure enough, that's where we went. We was out to sea about 6 or 8 days, and then they told us where we was going. It was my fifth invasion, and I was 21 years old.
So how old were you when you went and enlisted?
About 19, 20.
And what, you said you were in college. Where were you in school?
Yeah. Southern Normal. I had to play football for my tuition.
Now, Southern Normal was
Springfield.
So you were in school at Springfield, and so was that, you enlisted after Pearl Harbor, is that?
After Pearl Harbor, January 20. Pearl Harbor was December 7th. I enlisted January 27th.
Okay, so where were you then? Were you in school, in class, when Pearl Harbor happened, or can you tell me about what that was like?
I was home on the farm sleeping, and my brother came home and told me to turn on the radio. He says, you're going to war. And I says, oh, you're kidding. And I turned the radio on, and that's all that was on was December 7th, was Pearl Harbor.
So your brother didn't think he was going to war?
Well, my brother was too old. They called him up for the draft, but they was too old, and they was farming about 1,200 acres with one tractor.
So the government decided to let him stay.
They stayed home.
So when you heard the news about Pearl Harbor, did you think that America should, did you think that that was the right time for the United States to get involved in the war?
I was ready to go. And I think the Army is a good place for any 17, 18-year-old kid. A year's time in the Army will make a man out of them if they don't have to go to war. War is hell.
So can you tell me a little bit then about the things that you remember the most, the things that stand out in your mind most vividly about the war?
Well, we pulled We pulled out of New York City Christmas Day at 1942 at 11 o'clock in the morning. And if you wanted to see a bunch of bawling sailors, you should have been there, because those that could have got home sure took it hard. And then we went on patrol to South America. But the day I remember most is the day our ship got hit, because I had to go to the bathroom, and we had our own little bathroom in about 100 degrees down there. And I broke every rule in the book for general quarters. I went topside and used the bathroom. First, I took my breakfast, a Hershey candy bar and a donut, and I put it in my pocket, and I crawled up the tube like on a silo, and they had a urinal up on the bridge. And I used the urinal, and I stepped back and I watched the bomb come down. And there was a black trail of smoke trailing the bomb. It was a new bomb, one of the first ones the Germans ever dropped. And my cousins came over from Germany a few years back, and I told them about that bomb, and they could name it off right away, and I can't tell you which one it was. It was one of their new bombs. And our ship was the only ship that took a bomb of that size and did not sink. It had a 20 by 60 foot hole in the bottom of the ship. And what saved it was water came in and put out the fire in the ammunition room. There was 100 men they didn't find, I don't think. And hangar deck, the ship was going down nose first, and the captain had orders to scuttle the ship. Well, that means let her sink it, so the Germans wouldn't get a hold of it. But we flooded the hangar deck, and it was 52 feet from topside to the water level of the ship. And when she leveled off, you could sit there and reach over and touch water. And the 2 or 3 days before we got hit, the sharks were swimming around in that water like fish in a fish pond. And it was not a happy sight. We lost about 200, 240. Nobody would tell you the same number.
How many men were on the ship to begin
1,200
with?
Men.
1,200.
1,200.
So how did you get out of this? It sounds like kind of a predicament. You've got a ship that's got a great big hole in it, and you're riding low in the water.
Yeah. We made it to Valletta, Malta. That was the only dry dock in the Mediterranean big enough that would hold us. And they worked around the clock from September till December. And we came back to the States. And outside of Philadelphia, we hit one of them North Atlantic storms. And the old ship just creaked and groaned and moaned. You thought she was going to sink. And we pulled into Philadelphia December 24th. 1943 at 4 o'clock, and the Marines wouldn't let us out of the Navy base because we didn't have uniforms and everything. And the old captain called them up and let them boys get out of there so they can get something to eat and go get some uniforms. And they left us out. Then I was sent to New York, 49, I think it was 51st Street or something like that. And there was the Armed Guard Center. We was slated for PT boats in the Pacific. And they wanted to know if we had any money on the books. We had about 20 bucks. There was five of us. So we went, the yeoman told us to go get paid and rent a room. So we went and got paid 20 bucks, and we rented a room for about 5 days. And on the fifth day, we didn't have no money. We didn't have no room left. We says, well, we're ready for the PT boats. And she says, oh, no, I got shore duty in the United States for you in New York. So two of them went to Cornell University. One of them stayed on 51st Street. And I went to Rochester, University of Rochester, New York, which was a nice, good school. And when I went there, I told them I'd take a transfer right away because I didn't think I could work for a wave. But the commander said, stay here for 30 days and tell me that, and I'll ship you out of here. and she was one of the nicest people I ever knew. And I stayed there for over a year. When I got transferred as a second-class storekeeper out of there, I had tears in my eyes. Because if my 4 years would have been up, I'd have shipped over.
I see. So you didn't like the idea at first of having to take orders from a woman.
That's right.
So what about her changed your mind?
She was just a wonderful person. She'd loan me money. She wouldn't loan me 10 bucks, but she'd loan me a dollar or two to go get something to eat with. But she wouldn't loan me 10 bucks so I could go out and get drunk. And we got along just fine.
Did she ever go with you?
No.
No?
She was an officer. She couldn't go with us.
Okay. Okay. So she must not have, it must have been kind of rare for a woman to be an officer in the Navy.
She was a Navy payroll. That's what we was in. And she was very good. And my brother-in-law died, and I wanted to come home. And they wouldn't let me. And I says, well, I'm going home. She says, well, you're up for second class. I'm not telling you not to, but if you go home, you won't get it. So there's nothing I could do, so I didn't go home. I stayed there then.
Mm-hmm. So you were there in New York, you said?
Yeah,
for
Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York.
University of Rochester.
And then after that, you shipped out again, is that
no.
right? No.
After that, I went to the Naval Supply Depot at Scotia, New York, right down by Schenectady. And then I was transferred down to 51st Street again. And worked down there for about a week or 10 days discharging guys, and we didn't work too good. And I went back to Sampson, New York. That was a separation center where we were discharging the boys. I was working 6 and 7 days a week. And that's where I got my discharge out of.
So this would have been 1945 then?
46, March 27th, 1946.
That was the last
discharged.
Day of service. Okay, okay. What about the war changed you, or did the war change you?
I was kind of jumpy when I got home, but I kind of got over it. But when you show that film of when my ship got hit, I still get tears in my eyes. Bothered me at first, I used to rage right up in bed, but not anymore.
I want to go back for a minute because I meant to ask you earlier. You had gone up to use a bathroom where you weren't supposed to be.
Yep.
And you saw this bomb coming.
Yeah.
How close did it fall to you? How far away were you?
About 25 feet away from me.
Did it knock you off your feet?
No. I was up higher and it was down lower. But it killed all the men in three turrets but one. One guy on the Savannah, his brother was on the South Dakota, and he says, you want to get into a safe place, get into a turret. He says he was in the turret on the South Dakota, and a bomb hit that, and it bounced off and went in the water and never heard a thing. And about 3 weeks before, this guy got into the turret, and he got killed.
So his advice wasn't so very good, was it?
No, it wasn't good.
Did being in the war change your idea about what you wanted your life to be like when you got back home?
When I got home, I was going to farm. I had no mother, I had no dad, they were both dead, and I planned on farming, and I come out and bought a new tractor. I had $600, I bought a new tractor, and then I borrowed money from the Menlo Bank to start with a GI loan to start farming. I've been farming ever since, and well, the last 25 years I've been in town.
When you, well, obviously you said Pearl Harbor had occurred already in December of 41, and so you went and you enlisted. Did you understand, do you think, when you were 19 years old and signed up, what it was you were getting into by going to war?
Well, I knew it wouldn't be good, but I just didn't want to go with the Army. And I really had no home life. My mother was dead. She died when I was 11 years old.
So it was just you and your brother then? Or?
My brothers.
Oh, you had
I
more
four,
than?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one sister left out of a family of 14.
So there were 14 of you children. And how many of you ended up serving in the military during
two.
The second, just the two of you during the second
the
world war?
The youngest ones.
Okay. Because everybody, you were, everybody else
we
was
were
older.
I was a baby.
Okay. Okay. So you knew why we were at war. I mean, you believed in the the reason that we were involved?
I figured I was going to be drafted and I didn't want to go to the Army. And another good reason, I was broke going to college. I had to play football and track for my tuition. I didn't have a dime. And that was another way to quit college without telling them you was broke.
So you didn't finish school then?
No, I never went back. I never liked school. I never had a book when I went to college.
That certainly would be a more challenging experience than,
yeah.
than to be able to afford the things that you would need. What are the things that you remember the most about that experience? I mean, can you tell me like about the food and that sort of thing? Other people have talked about K rations, what that was like, but on board ship, were things different?
We had baked beans Wednesdays and Saturday morning for breakfast, just as sure as the clock went around, with a gob of ketchup on them. And in the States, we ate real good. But 10 days out to sea, we had powdered potatoes, we had powdered this, powdered that, and powdered milk. And they would not set carnation milk on the table for your coffee because the guys would drink it. And I was breaking out stores one time, and one guy wanted a can of carnation milk, and I said, what do you want with that? And he says, I want to drink it. So I got him a can of carnation milk, and I opened it up, and I said, here, sit down. And I said, here's your milk. And I said, drink it. You wanted it, I got it for you. I'm going to see to it that you drink it. And he put it to his mouth, and he never took it away till he was done, and I couldn't believe it, that he liked milk. And when I come back to Rochester, my buddy would have milk, and he'd take the cream off for his coffee and dump the milk away. After about 2 or 3 days of that, I says, ain't you going to drink that milk? And he said, no, do you want it? I said, you bet. And I drank his milk. And then he went to Pacific. And after he was out there about 3 or 4 months, he wrote me a letter that he couldn't understand why I craved milk so bad when I came back to Rochester. But being out there in the Pacific for 4 months, he knew why now. And he knew why I craved milk so bad.
You don't understand until you have to live without
yeah.
it, do you? You said when we first started talking that that you felt like war is really hell, that it's a terrible yeah. experience. Was that something that you thought going into it, or was it something that you learned through the experience of being
well,
at war?
It was something you knew you was going to have to go. And I would rather take my pick than go where they're going to send me. In the roughest 35 days I ever put in my life was aboard the Savannah in the Mediterranean when we stood 4 hours on watch and 4 hours off of watch. And when we was off, we were supposed to shower and work in the office and get our eats. And after 30 or 35 days of that, you could lean up against the wall and go right to sleep. You were so tired.